Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sport in Kansas City show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and wherever you stream your content. That's what we are these days. We're content producers, whether that's video, audio, Facebook Live, YouTube, wherever you want to get your podcast, you can get this show. As always, my guests or co-hosts, Carter Augustine and Ali Trost, joining me today. What's up, guys? How are you?
No complaints. Doing well.
We've got the Easter egg somewhere. I don't know if it's in frame right now for Ali, but somewhere in the studio there. Okay, now you have an idea.
What looks different from last week?
Yeah, we're not telling you what it is, though. You got to figure it out yourself.
This is a tough one.
Yeah, that's right. This is a big opportunity to try to spot something here for you folks that might not be so easy to find.
I need to start utilizing some of this white space. I mean, it's just going to like become a cluttered shrine here by the time this is all said and done.
That's right. And that's fine. We like it that way. We got a busy show for you today. We're going to talk with Peter Vermees. Pretty much enough said there. It's going to be a long interview. We're going to cover a lot of topics. And you know, Peter, he's going to honestly answer everything in a way that you're going to find interesting and enlightening. So you're going to want to listen to that. That's coming up in the next segment. Guys, we do have a schedule of things to run down for Sporting Kansas City fans coming up over the next week. On Thursday, we're going to have what we call the Michelob Ultra Happy Hour with manager Peter Vermees. Now, that's one of the reasons he's coming on the show here in a little bit. We're going to promote that. But this is a situation where, hey, today, we get to ask Peter the questions. I got a ton of questions I always like to ask Peter. I could interview him all day. But you as fans have questions and things that you have on your mind you want to ask Peter about. That's what is going to happen on Thursday. It's basically a town hall at 4:30. So go to sportingkc.com, get all the details there. We're going to take your questions, and Peter's going to answer them, and that'll be great. Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Classic match determined by fan vote. Okay, we've been running through these classic games so far, and we've had a lot of good ones already. But on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to run one that you, the fans, get to vote on. And so I'll give you the list of games right now. If you go to the Sporting KC Twitter feed, there's a poll up there right now. You can pick between the New England Revolution game on May 16th, 1998, the Clash on September 5th, 1998, LA Galaxy versus Sporting Kansas City or the Wizards at the time in the 2000 MLS playoffs, or the Wizards against San Jose in the 2004 MLS playoffs. So those are your four options. You can go to Sporting KC's Twitter handle and vote on those, which one you want to watch. Then on Saturday, we're going to play back one of our classic matches with the Enhanced Broadcast, where we have some player guests join us along the way, and it's going to be the Vancouver Whitecaps game from 2018. Sporting Kansas City got a couple of red cards against the Whitecaps. Johnny Russell had a hat trick, and Sporting cruised in that game for a big win. So that's coming up on Saturday at 7 o'clock. And then, Ali, on Sunday, 6 o'clock, the EMLS tournament featuring Juan Cusain and Alexander. And Juan Cusain spoke to the media today about this big opportunity on Sunday.
He did. And I think the first thing I want to point out is that it's amazing that this tournament is all the proceeds are going to charity, which I love seeing so many different organizations, especially ones tied to sports, finding creative ways to give back to the community. So that's a huge benefit in this holding. But yeah, we got a chance to talk to Juan Cusain earlier today about just how he prepares for the game, his experience as a gamer. And what's interesting is how he kind of got started at the competitive level in this holding, and kind of his breakout moment was playing against former Pro Bowler Ocho Cinco at his apartment. Like, he invited Ocho Cinco to his apartment and he accepted. And that is where Juan Cusain, historically, if you will, maybe in the gaming world, or a big moment that was written about and posted about quite a bit, was that Juan Cusain upset Ocho Cinco. And Ocho Cinco compared that to losing his, as painful as losing his virginity. So kind of a really funny moment. And he'll talk a little bit about that. So we'll play that clip here about Juan Cusain talking about that experience and just kind of how it's led him to where he is today in this EMLS potential career that he could maybe have at the end of all of this.
Chad Ocho Cinco, he's kind of one of the big influencers when it comes to, you know, the FIFA community. A couple years ago, a lot of times he would tweet out saying, "I'm the FIFA god," or "Whoever thinks they can beat me at FIFA, I'm going to show up to your house and play you." And he lives in Miami, Florida, so he wasn't ever really, you know, in the KC area for me to ever play him. But one day, his daughter was in Lawrence, I believe, for nationals and track. And he made his way, he tweeted his that he was going to be at Legends shopping at the Adidas outlet. And I saw that tweet and I was just like, yeah, why not tweet him saying, "Hey, come to my house. My pantry is your pantry," because that's kind of my way to get him in. He loves food. So I tweeted that out around, like, let's say 2 o'clock. And then I happened to take a nap because it was after practice. And when I woke up from the nap, it was like an hour later, 3 o'clock, 3:30. And then I saw that he had tweeted back at me like an hour and a half ago. And I was so mad because I thought my chance was gone. But then I just happened to DM him. And he replied and he said, "I'll be at your doorstep." And like I said, I know he's in my parking lot of my apartment complex saying, "I love you" to random strangers. And it was, you know, just a really cool experience. But besides that, you know, we got to play a couple of games, like 3 or 4 games. He was really good, actually. He surprised me a lot. I happened to win all 4 games. And kind of for me winning, I said, "If I win, could you please tweet out a picture?" Just saying everyone, you know, how good I was and stuff like that. And he happened to tweet out the picture. It was a funny tweet picture, and I'm forever thankful for that moment.
There's Juan Cousin, and you can check him out Sunday, 6 o'clock with Alexander in the EMLS Tournament Special on Fox Sports 1. That's going to do it for our first segment as we lay out everything for you. Busy week coming up, even though we're still in lockdown. We got a lot of content coming your way over the next week, including that town hall meeting with Peter Vermees at 4:30 on Thursday. And with that, let's go ahead and take a break. Peter Vermees joins us next on the Sporting Kansas City Show. And we're back on the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for SKC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Google. And then, of course, now on video, we're streaming these bad boys so you can see our beautiful faces as well on the Sports Radio 810WHB Facebook page and other social media streaming platforms. And now we're joined by the man who's obviously taken his Zoom game to another level compared to the rest of us, because look at the background there. Peter Vermees joining us from what looks like a jam-packed, beautiful Children's Mercy Park. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. The reason why I have that is because I'm a Zoom specialist. I have all kinds of backgrounds. I actually go on these calls each day and change it, and everybody's always really excited to see my background. So it's something to keep everybody a little motivated and you know, create a meeting that'll be a little upbeat from the beginning. So that's where we're at. I'm an IT specialist, if you guys didn't know.
Which background has gotten the biggest reaction on a Zoom call?
Well, actually, this one where it was this unbelievable lake behind me that then went into like a little bit of a forest and then into a set of mountains. And everybody's wondering if that was out the window behind me. And people were texting me offline saying, "Hey, are you, where did you go? Where are you?" So that was probably the best one.
You're like, "I'm riding out the pandemic in Lake Placid," right?
Exactly. That's right.
So how many Zoom calls are you on per day right now?
I would say probably pretty steady. Zoom calls are at least 4, if not more. But then, you know, there's days, and I mean this, I'm on a Zoom call or a telephone from 8 in the morning until sometimes 11:30 at night. Because there's just so many different pieces that are playing out right now. On top of what has happened, even if you even take like the DA space with US Soccer and them dissolving that competition. So now we as MLS are trying to come in and be the leaders of that marketplace. So we're also working on that. And I sit on a subcommittee for player development. So we're working on things there too. So it's just, there's just so many different things, return to play, getting on Zoom calls with the players here and there. That's fun. I mean that facetiously. You know, just things like that. So yeah, it's a lot on the phone, obviously, like most of us.
Can I pick your brain real quick on that note that you just talked about, the DA dissolving and you guys kind of taking up the reins? What can you share publicly, and is this an exciting thing for you?
So the first thing that I would say is that I don't think I don't think any of us wanted to see that space go away, right? It's always I think it's always bad for the sport when a development space now just falls off the face of the earth. So nobody wanted that. That was kind of a discussion amongst a lot of youth clubs, saying that it was almost as if Major League Soccer forced that because we wanted certain things for that space. What I would say to you is that I never view trying to make something better as trying to be the demise of something. So we were challenging the system to continue to improve it. But I don't believe that's what was the demise of it. US Soccer made their decision. To be frank, I think it was a convenient excuse with COVID-19 for them to get out of space. I think it's unfortunate that it happened the way it did, but I think we're looking at it as an opportunity now to be a leader in that space. Look, our owners are investing financial people, everything to player development. And so we should be in that area and we should be looking to be the leaders there. So I think it's an opportunity for us. And there's, I think, a lot of different levels to it. I don't think it's just one level where it's just a DA space, if you will, because I don't think that we should be replicating that, because I don't think it was a cost-effective competition. And I also think it lacked flexibility, both in the movement of players and also in the way that there was an expectation from US Soccer for all the clubs to run their programs. I think when you have like this homogenized group that all does the same thing, you don't really get a lot of creativity out of that. I think if one club wants to boot the ball down the field and get it into the mixer as soon as possible, then they should be allowed to play that way if they feel that's best for them. If another team wants to sit back and, you know, park the bus and bunker in, if that's the way that they want to play, that's the way they should be able to play. I think all of that variety helps to create and develop better players that can function in all types of settings. And so we have to get back to that creativity, that environment of that, but at the same time giving flexibility to the movement of players within that space as well. And I think that, you know, we'll create our own way of developing players in this country across the board.
So Peter, how do you imagine that within MLS, looking at all of the things that went wrong, maybe with the US side and the developmental academies, how do you foresee it looking now with MLS?
I think there's probably two pieces to that, because I think you would, and maybe three, because I think you would probably take your academy and split it in half. I think when you go 14 and below, that has one set of recommendations. When you go 15 and above, I think it's another. All of it's a part of the pro player pathway. All of it is a part of that. But I really think the 15s and above is where it's really focused, right? And so where you're building this individual player and you're building your foundation with the 12s, 13s, 14s, as we do at Sporting, it's now that 15 through the rest is where you really start to focus the player. And so I think your competition has to change. And the easiest way to say it is 14 and below should be local and regional, because I don't think kids should be flying all over the country at 12, 13, 14. It's not necessary. We should be training and playing games. And we can do that in and amongst our local and regional markets, because you can take a U12 team and play them up at U13 and get more competitive environment for them to, you know, get challenged. So that's it. To me, that's an easy part. 15s and above, and this has to be incrementally phased in, but I think you should be looking that as regional, national, and international. and it gets more aggressive as you go up the ladder. And then I think you have to decide, you know, from 15 to 19, what are the teams that you want to focus that, where you want to be concentrated on. And then I think the final piece is a second team for every club, because you have to be able to bridge the gap between the academy and the first team. And so that's that other third part that I was talking about.
So we've got Peter Vermees with us right now. And by the way, part of the reason we're having him on right now is because you, the fans, will have a chance to ask Peter some questions at our town hall meeting that is coming up on Thursday at 4:30. If you go to sportingkc.com, you'll be able to get all the details there and get your questions in. But that's going to be a fun one where, you know, we know Peter's always great with his time with the fans for things like that. So if you want to get a little bit of this and get some of your own questions in, Thursday, 4:30, our Michelob Ultra town hall meeting that we're going to do online, Peter.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought that was more of a Zoom happy hour, but now it's a Zoom happy hour town hall meeting. Is that worth saying?
Hey, let's do it. I'm happy to have some Michelob Ultras while we do this. I'm not driving anywhere, so, you know, I'm good, you know. So so on that note, I'm gonna take advantage of this personal time, Peter, to ask you a question, a little parenting advice / coaching advice, since we're talking youth soccer. You've talked a lot about what's age appropriate, and you just mentioned it with the academy stuff. My son's 10 years old. My daughter's 7. They both love to play soccer, but I'll be honest, they don't love to stand around and do individual soccer drills at this point in their life, right? They're 10 and 7 years old. I would assume that makes them relatively normal. Their coaches are sending us emails saying, hey, keep the kids active, keep them playing, make sure that their skills don't fall apart during this time with home quarantine. And I'm just curious, like, I don't know the right way to handle that with them. I want them to get out and get some touches on the ball. I don't want them to feel like it's a job at 10 years old, though. I want them to play because they think it's fun. You have any advice for parents that are in my space? We can't send our kids to go out and play with other kids right now. What's the best way to approach this time?
I'll sum this up this way. When I was a kid, and let's say it was summertime and I have school, I could leave my house at 6 o'clock in the morning, show back up for lunch, grab something really quick, go back out, and then listen for somebody to scream for me to come home for dinner. And nobody knew where I was. Mm-hmm. And I played every sport in and around my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Nobody had to tell us how to start a game. Nobody had to tell us what things we had to do within that game. We just kind of were, you know, we took the initiative, and that was the time. Obviously, over time, things have changed from a social perspective. You know, even as much as you want your kids to go out and play, you're also very protective of where they're going. You want to know. So it's hard for them, just from a cultural perspective, to take that initiative and go and do that. So you can't expect them that they're just going to walk outside and just start doing it. What you have to do is provide them with some insight of different things they can do. But if you're going to tell, like, your son and your daughter, hey, I'm going to set up these, you know, 10 sticks and you got to dribble around them. I want you to do this 5 times. And I want you to go over and do some sit up. I just think that's, again, what you're doing is you're taking the fun out of it. I think it's more of going outside and, you know, there's just different things you can do. And all of a sudden, what will happen is once they see it, or once they're a part of it, I mean, imagine if you went out with your daughter and son, okay, so listen, I'm going to dribble the ball and you got to try to take it away from me. Now all of a sudden they think that's great because they get there and they defend their dad and they can tackle you or kick you from behind, which they normally can't do. And now all of a sudden it spurs something else. But just telling somebody to go outside and do a bunch of drills, I just don't think that it's in their makeup, because culturally we're not built that way anymore. So that's why you got to provide a little bit of a starting point. And that is going out there maybe with them. But again, not going out there because you're saying, hey, you have to come with me. Hopefully they want to go out in the back and do that. And if they don't, my suggestion is don't push them out there.
I'm just trying to get them to do something else than sit around in front of the TV and play video games all day, you know?
Yeah, Nate, I understand. You know what? When I was little, I know your kids love looking up videos on YouTube. One of my favorite things to do when I was playing soccer as a kid was go on YouTube and look up different moves and tricks I used to love to juggle. I mean, I'd go outside and, like, I mean, trying to break 1,000 and then get to 5,000, break all those things. but you can look up different moves and tricks, and then you challenge yourself to do those. You can create a fun little competition between Benny and Ovi, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a good idea. How much YouTube did you watch as a kid, Peter, when you were trying to?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're so lucky you had YouTube. We had a tube that came off of the paper towel roll, and we used to look through it like we had a telescope. That was our fun.
Summer camps, though. Yeah. Summer camps is where you learn all the tricks, and then you have to try to remember all of them and go home. And they give you a little printout with like a little stick figure doing the move.
I was going to see if you had any suggestions for adults that need activities and are going insane inside their houses.
It's not for this show.
In all seriousness, on that note, Peter, we were talking with Joey Hardy, one of the first episodes we did during this quarantine, and he brought up a point that I thought really resonated, which was that, you know, from the strength and conditioning component of things, you usually have an end date, and then you work backwards from that. Be it, you know, when the start of the season is, so let's back plan everything for 2 months to build up to that. We all know you are a person who, you don't just think one day in advance, you're thinking a week, a month, years down the road to have a plan for everything. And we just don't know. The dates keep getting moved around. There's no definite, this is the point. Is that driving you nuts? How is that for you to not have something where you go, this is how we're going to get ready, and this is what we're going to get ready for?
It is. It's tough, right? Because you're just constantly speculating on what's going to be the situation. And that's why right now we kind of have, you know, four models, if you will. We have the stay-at-home version. We have, at some point, we're probably going to get to individual workouts where they'll have field access, but not facility access. We'll probably get to small group trainings with facility access. And then we'll eventually get back to 11v11. Which is the full team. With all those different scenarios, there's different components. So for me, when I look at the stay-at-home model that we have currently, it's really about, you have to take where the guys were. They had an off season, which they worked really hard in. Then they had a preseason, again, great commitment. They come out of the preseason playing their first two games, and we demonstrated from a physical perspective, we were in very, very good form in comparison to all the other physical data on all the other teams in the league. And that's been printed. That's been put out there. We are in a great place, or we were in a great place with that situation. So now it was about us trying to make sure that we at least maintain as much of that fitness as possible, and also a general level of fitness and strength that was important, because when we return, I don't want the guys to have to start all over again. It's I know that all of you are there. I'm going to say that Nate's there and he's with me in this, is that when you get out of shape and you get older, it takes so much longer to get back into shape. But it's the same thing for the guys. Once they get to a certain level of fitness, if they can now just stay in and around that area, they're going to maintain a good foundation for fitness. They won't be game fit. I mean, that's obvious. They're not playing a soccer game and running up and down the field. So the only way you do that is by playing games, right? And training in soccer. They can't do that right now. But I want it to be so when they come back, we can maybe spend a week or so getting them a little bit more, if you will, ready for regular training, and then we can get back into regular training much quicker. What I'm not concerned about so much is maybe model of play and style of play, because I think they have a pretty good grasp of that. It's really going to get them to be at a level of fitness where they can play based on the demands of our model of play physically.
Peter, first of all, you're giving Carter and I a lot of credit over here. Carter, I'm not going to speak for you, but woof. It's been a tough couple of weeks here in quarantine, I'll just say that. But you talk about the physical aspect, and we talked to Roger Espinoza on a conference call the other week, and I asked him, as far as the adjustments been for Alan Pulido, Gadi Kinda, Roberto Puntich, and some other players who are newly acquired in the offseason, adjusting to all of the other things like the culture, new city, new team amidst a global pandemic. He said that himself and Elie have been reaching out with them, but from your perspective and your role, and then for the team, what are some other ways that you guys have been just kind of helping them through this very strange time?
So what I've tried to do is I've tried to call the players. I've tried to communicate with the players in different ways. I've called them individually, which, by the way, that takes a whole day to call all the guys and get them all on the phone. That's one. And I'll tell you, it takes a whole day. I actually got a shoulder pain from calling all the guys in one day. I had shoulder pain for like 2 days, which I never had before, just because I was doing something on my computer at the time. At the same time, like checking off who I was, calling, and you can imagine. So that's one. The other is Zoom call. The other is that it's what you said, is those guys staying together. Joey was creative in that he started Zoom workouts. So you could get like six guys together, eight guys together on a call, and so that they all had the same equipment at home. They then could do a workout together, which was some camaraderie, if you will. What I would say is that prior to all this, I thought all those guys, Puncich, Polito, Gadikinda, Winston Reed, all those guys were acclimating really well to our team and the city. Where the difficulty is, and with the thing that we can't help them with, is this. They came here to play soccer, and there's no soccer. But that's the same for every other person around the world. So it's not like if they went home, they could do that there. They can't do it there either. And that's the hard part that we can't overcome. And I think for them at times, it probably must be very boring. But, I think they'll get through it. And the second we get outside, I think a lot of the guys, just like a lot of us, everybody's going to appreciate having a normal life a lot more than we probably, probably took for granted a lot of things just because it's been taken away from us.
Yeah, I might never complain about an in-person meeting again after Zoom after Zoom happening right now. Do we have any updates or on the league and what the league's doing, or is it as you guys were talking about earlier, just a wait and see right now?
Look, I think there's a lot of work being done behind the scenes. So you got to remember, you're always going to be looking at what is, first off, we have 26 clubs that are up operating right now. Each individual one has their own set of rules, right? CDC, the government, everybody's got something to say in that state and how they're going to then, is your stay at home completely locked down? Like here in Kansas, I mean, yeah, you're a stay at home, but you can go to parks and near my house, I have a golf course. I mean, I'm amazed. I'll go running or biking or walking with my wife or whatever, and we'll go. And the parking lot is jam-packed. Everybody's playing golf. All the driving range is full. People are chipping and putting. It's incredible to me. So each area is completely different. And so that's one of the challenges that they have, is knowing what they can and do and can't do in each of these cities and markets. And then we've been, what I will say is that, look, Sporting Kansas City, I believe is plugged into everything that is going on right now within the league. We are also on quite a few committees, everything from Cliff Illig to Mike Illig, to Jake, to myself. We are plugged into a lot of different committees with the league in trying to provide different processes that you might have to do coming out of this. For example, we've been on the front edge of creating sort of this return to play protocol for individual workouts and field access only. We've also done the same thing in small group trainings as well and using facilities. Your buddy Jordan has been awesome. He really has. He's been awesome. I've called him and we've met and we've put some different things together with some of the other staff members. And, he turns around, the videos that we put together so fast. Spelling is definitely not his top class thing. But outside of that, he has been tremendous. Honestly, he's been great. So it's things like that where I think we've been on the front lines trying to make this thing go. I would say that I feel a lot more positive and optimistic that we're going to get back to individual workouts a lot sooner than I thought. If you would ask me, 10 days ago, I'd have been like, I have no idea. Now I feel like something like that's coming. I just don't know if it would be in all the 26 markets right away. It might be just the ones that are a little bit more open and have the flexibility to do that, which then I think would then provide the others that can't or have stronger restraints right now. It might get those governments to see a little demonstrated performance and a little confidence to say, oh, this is actually working over there. Maybe we can start loosening the reins on some of these things as well.
All I heard out of that is Jordan Burrell, bad speller. That's what I heard, but there's a lot, there's a lot of other information there. You know, Peter, and look, you are one of the things that has always struck me about your personality is that some people will sit around and complain about a situation they don't like, and other people will actually come up with, this is how I would do it. And you've always struck me as one of those people that if you have an issue or you're dealing with something, you're constantly thinking of, here's a possible solution. Here's the way that I would structure it. And I'm curious, have you presented any ideas to the league in terms of like, this is how I think that the game should be played? Or have you been a guy that's given ideas to the league about the return to actual competitive play?
Well, I'm going to start first with the training aspect. What I'm not trying to do here is I'm not trying to break the rules, right? I understand what the world is going through. I understand, the different stay-at-home orders that we have in different cities. I get all that. What I've been trying to do along with the rest of the staff is trying to be using this time, try to be in a position to use this time in a very efficient way to say, okay, when we do come out of this and when things start to loosen up, here's a way that you could come back to individual play. So my example is that, and I'll throw it out to you this way. If you can go to a park in Kansas, right? If you can go to a park, which you can, because all the parks are open, so think of it this way. If Graham Zusi or Polito go to a park and do some running and then start playing with a ball. And as we know, there's a lot of young kids that are going to those parks as well. So those kids walk by, they recognize those guys, they're famous. Someone sees Polito, someone gets on their social media, and immediately in 10 minutes, there's 30 people there. And by the way, they all want to take pictures with them. To me, those alternatives are much more dangerous than what the other would be. And that is, if I provided them, say, field access to two of our fields, which had a true protocol on how they would enter. You could put four guys on a field. You could break the field up into quadrants. The guy could do it. There would be no coach there with him. The player would just do his own training. And by the way, his space would be roughly 37 and a half yards wide by 60 yards long. I think that's pretty good social distancing from the next person, right? Based on the 6-foot rule. So what I'm saying is that we're trying to propose now what it looks like when we come out of this, and how you could do it in an effective way. And then as whether we get more tests or what have you, then you could graduate to the next step. And then in play, I know that, look, we have been on this front foot of saying, if there's certain markets that are open then more so than others, then maybe we should just bring a majority of those teams and create a tournament style, or bring those teams, have them basically be in Kansas City, and let's look at maybe running a bunch of games here until those other places open up, and it would get our game going. You would see games on TV as well. There's a lot of different things that could be done. It's going to depend on so many different variables, but I would say in this time period, at least we can work on those things as we're at home, stay at home.
All right,
yeah,
Peter. So
that's interesting.
We've got just a few things. Yeah, that's really interesting. I sign me up for a tournament in Kansas City right now. That sounds terrific. If we can pull that off. A couple things we've kept it for a long time already. So a couple things we wanted to hit up with you before we sign off here. Number one, binge watching. Everybody's binge watching something. So what's being binge watched in the Vermees household?
Well, I tell you, it was so funny because I was talking to my son one night, and I don't know. I think you know this, but I really do like tigers. You know, I like tigers and lions. I do. I like them a lot. Like, I don't have a cub in my house, but I've always been, you know, I like the National Geographic, documentaries on lions and tigers. I love that stuff. So my son one day was telling me, because a buddy of his who lives with him said, you know, hey, there's this new thing out on Netflix, the Tiger King or whatever. And he said, you got to watch this. And I was like, what is it? And so they were at his house and they were reading it to me because I was in front of the TV. I go, come on, I'm not watching that. So one night I was just, you know, whatever, going through the channels, and I came across that and I turned it on. I'll tell you something. You cannot, you can't even dream up that script. No. There's no way. That thing, that was unbelievable. I thought it was awesome. So that was pretty interesting. That was a good one. I've been watching Westworld.
Yeah.
That's been pretty interesting. What's funny is I actually watch a lot of old games. I've watched, you know, different games of Us. By the way, I've watched every game in the league, the first two games. So that was pretty easy, you know, because there's only two for, you know, every team. But that doesn't really do anything for you, because when we come back, there's so much time's going to be gone. You know, everybody's going to be starting, you know, almost from ground zero. But yeah, and then I'm in touch with the staff a lot, and we're, like I said, we're working on different models, trying to pull a lot of different things together. You know, I would say the other thing too is that, you know, take it for what it's worth, but I think the league is doing a good job in trying to look at all these different models and the different people that they pull together and different task force and working groups to try to come up with different ways to, you know, different solutions for what we're going through and when we do come out of this. So I think they're doing a good job there. You know, I commend the owners of all the teams for staying calm during this time, because it'd be very easy for them to maybe take a different stance. And they've been rock solid. So we're pretty fortunate, as we're all involved in this game, to have people that, you know, are still committed to this great game that we all love.
So Peter, to go back to the Tiger King thing really quick, where do you stand then on the debate, did Carol Baskin kill her husband or not?
Ooh, that is a...
It's tough.
I'll tell you this. Let me say it this way. It doesn't look good for her. Okay? It doesn't look good. How it all happened, I don't know, but it definitely doesn't look good, because that is a strange one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so my other question though is, so you talk about some of the shows you're binging, watching back games from this season and even earlier than that, but we talked to Juan Cusain earlier. He's about to compete in the EMLS tournament, nationally televised, raising money for charity. And a lot of the guys on this team are gamers. So I asked him though, I go, well, is Coach Peter Vermees a gamer? And if so, what are your games if you've ever played?
So I'm not a gamer.
Cousin did say that you'd be solid, though. He said you'd be solid if you did.
Well, he's a smart kid for saying that. So I'm not a gamer. I'm not. What I would tell you, though, is that when I retired playing, it was here. It was whatever, November of 2002, I think, was my last game, whatever. And so, you know, it's coming up to Christmas time. And my kids got, which is the one that has Donkey Kong?
Was it the GameCube, like Mario Kart and those games?
No, yeah, Mario Kart, but it wasn't the GameCube, but it was something else.
N64?
I think so. I think that's exactly what it was. So they got that. And I didn't have those types of things growing up, so whatever. So I had all this time. And so my kids were small, and so it was Christmas time. They were asking me to play with them. And so by the time they went to bed, I was trying to kill this one game with the gorilla guy. And I went through the whole thing. I remember I collected every single banana in that whole thing. But that was the one game. That and Mario Kart is the two games that I played for, like, I don't know, a couple months time when I was retired and trying to figure out what the next steps were going to be for me. I was like the guy telling my kids, like, hey, listen, you guys got to go to bed early tonight because you've been up too late. But I was playing the game instead. So, yeah.
To this day, my mom is hands down the best Mario Kart player I've literally ever seen. I'd put her up against anybody.
Wow.
Good game. Very good
game. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Classic. Okay, since you mentioned, Peter, that you like to go back and watch some old games, we've been having a lot of fun at SportingKC.com playing back some classic games. And now, starting this week, the fans get to vote on which classic game they want to watch on the rebroadcast on Thursday night. And so this week, there's four games, and two of them you were a part of. So we've got the 98 game against the New England Revolution on May 16th. We got the 98 game against the Clash on September 5th. But then we also have the 2000 MLS playoffs against LA and the 2004 MLS playoffs against San Jose. If you had to vote on one of those, I kind of have a guess here, but what would be your vote?
Yeah, our series against LA was great. It really was. It was a great series because, first off, they're a really good team. It was LA. They won the first round late in the game on a corner kick, and now we got to come home. And he won't admit this, but back then, you know, we played at Arrowhead, and where you came down the tunnel and then where the two locker rooms were, ours was the first one on the right, and then the opponent was a little bit further down on the left. And when they're coming down the tunnel there, and they took that little left to go into the little hallway towards the locker rooms, Kobe Jones screamed out that something to the effect, he said, we're going to kick your ass. I'm allowed to say that on this. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're allowed to kick, we're going to kick your ass or something like that. One of those, something where our door was open and you couldn't see right into our locker room, but a bunch of us heard it. And I remember that was like, good one. Thank you. A little more motivation. It was a good series. The fact that we were able to win that game 1-0, take it into overtime, and then it was back then, it was sudden death. So that was had even more drama to it, and Mo headed the ball down and then Mikolo scores the goal. Yeah, that was a big series. That was huge. So yeah, it's that one. So I don't know why you get, but by the way, you know what I love with all these games that you guys are showing is that right now Sporting Kansas City or Kansas City, we're undefeated. We haven't lost yet. Baby. So it's great. I love it. Yeah. I think it's great.
Somehow we keep picking going. The ones we win. It's yeah. How we do that.
I like it.
One other thing we've been doing is we've been asking all the guys that come on a goal to Google, and we're kind of building a list. So people that maybe haven't seen a goal that could be from your career or just could be one of your favorite goals that you ever seen. What comes to mind for a goal for people to Google?
A goal to Google. What I would say is I would say watch. This is what I'd say. There's so many great videos. So by the way, on YouTube, there's so many great goals from Messi. But one of the things about that, and I've been watching a lot of different stuff on YouTube because I couldn't watch it when I was younger. So I've been watching a lot of stuff on YouTube, and I've watched a lot of different games. I've watched a lot of different highlight films, and there's something that I noticed that I never noticed about Messi before. And that is whenever he is dribbling the ball, and let's say he starts somewhere around midfield and now he's attacking the goal, and it's kind of a counterattack situation. The other team's dropping back and they're all fumbling around because they don't know what's coming, right? Here he comes. And he has players on his team that are running, in advance of him or whatever, because they're trying to find the right space for him to play a ball through to them. What's amazing to me is you only watch him when he scores, but what you need to watch is when he plays a ball and he's still 30, 40 yards out from goal, you got to watch how he runs into the box and gets on the end of stuff, because there's even situations where he plays it, he runs into the box, and then somebody else on his team gets there and scores. But wherever he left and the guys that were with him, they all stop, and he always continues his run. His runs off the ball are incredible. I've never seen anybody like it, and I can't believe how many goals that I've noticed that he has scored where he runs into the box where most players never do. They just play it and they just wait. It's incredible. So that would be the thing that I would say. Watch his goals. Watch him running off of the ball. I think for some of the guys, it's amazing because the defenders sit there and they throw their hands up like, I can't believe this just happened. But it's because he followed the play and they didn't. And he does it so often. It's incredible.
Love it.
That might be
Love
the it. Best goal to Google to date. It's more of a tactical approach. I like it. Yeah. I'm going to go watch Messi highlights after this.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
Well, hey, Peter, thank you so much for the time. We hope you stay sane with all these Zoom meetings. And like you said, and I'm encouraged to hear you say that hopefully the guys, get back out on the field training soon, because that's the first step to us getting to be what your background is right there, which is a place we all miss quite a bit right now.
That's the optimist in me.
Love it. Born optimist, Peter Vermees.
See you guys. Thank you.
And we'll see you Thursday night at 4:30 for the town hall meeting.
Looking forward to it. See you guys. Take care.
Bye. All right,
that is Peter Vermees. We'll be back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show right after this. Right, back to wrap things up on this edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. Our thanks to Peter Vermees. Great talk as always. Great insight. I don't know about you guys, hearing him talk about the possibility. I don't know how realistic it is, if they're just something they're throwing around, but I'll take a competition with all the MLS teams here in Kansas City. I would think the facilities here would play into it pretty well and all of that. So we'll see how that all plays out and where it goes from here. But remember, Thursday, 4:30, you can log on and participate in our town hall meeting with Peter Vermees. Coming up right here on Sporting Kansas City social media platforms. Guys, now it's time for your goals to Google. Allie, I'm going to start with you this time around. We got one from Peter Vermees about watching Messi. What do you have for us this week for a goal to Google for the fans?
Well, for those who missed it last week, we watched the crazy 6-4 win of the Kansas City Wizards in their fourth game of the 96 season over the Columbus Crew. And the goal that put them ahead in the, I believe it was 77th minute, came from Mike Sorbert, who blasted it from 35 yards out. It was an impeccable goal. Again, gave them the lead 5-4, then went on to seal the deal and solidify the win with a 6-4 victory with a later goal in the game, I believe from Preki or Digital. I can't remember now that I'm...
Preki, right foot, I think, but it was him.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it was the two of them combined up...
After
for that one, but
the guy you just talked about blocked two shots on the line at the end. It's crazy. They're up 5-4.
Yeah, because they literally threw everybody in the box trying to get the tie, which, I mean, the fact that 10 goals came from that game and it was really so evenly matched. Usually when you see a game and there were 10 goals scored, you assume that it was a bit more lopsided where a team wins, you know, 7-3, 8-2. But no, it was a close game up until those final minutes. So that was mine. There were a lot of great goals in that game, a lot of shots from distance, which really was kind of an interesting factor in that to me. But no, that goal from Mike Sorbert was fantastic. We talked about it. We did a little final whistle show, Facebook Live, post game on Sports Radio 810, myself, Dave Bortrand, and Chad Reynolds, and talked a lot about that. But that was a great one. That's what I'm loving about these old KC Wiz and Sporting games, is seeing some fantastic goals that you either forget about or you just haven't seen in a long time.
All right, okay. Carter, what about you?
Definitely, that's a great one. I liked Peter's tact this week, and I've actually been kind of doing the same, just kind of going through some of my favorite players and picking out goals from them. And so this week I've got a Pavel Nedved goal for you guys. I loved watching him play, even though he was part of that Czech Republic team that beat the U.S. in 06. Yeah, he's just all over the place, energetic, really loved to get involved in a tackle. A lot of people called him a pretty reckless tackler. He's kind of a attacking would throw in some challenges as well. And man, he's such a classy player. I loved watching him in his blonde wig all over the pitch. And he's got a goal in 04 in the Champions League against Ajax. That is, it's ridiculous. First he makes a run in behind that no one passes him the ball, but it kind of opens up space for some teammates, and he recycles around and winds up getting a layoff at the top of the box. And it's like a little chop with the outside of his right foot that no one expects him to shoot at the moment. It's fantastic. So Paulo Nedved, 04 Champions League against Ajax.
Okay. I like that. So for me, so far, you know, last week, Ali gave us, I think it was last week, a goal from the women's game. And I don't want Ali to be the only one here that's picking out some goals from the women's game to Google. So one of my favorite players to watch on the women's side is Sam Kerr. I just think she's an incredible player. Australian international, has played in the NWSL. And so I went back looking through some of her goals, and she had a performance against Seattle in 2017 where they were down. New Jersey was down by a score of 3-0 at halftime. She came back and scored 4 second half goals, and her team won 5-4. Now, it's cheating a little bit to say to just go watch the 4 goal spectacular. So if I have to pick one goal out of that, the third of the 4, she picks up the ball at half field, drives diagonally from the near side, the left side, to the top of the D with 3 players on their heels, kind of retreating but trying to close her down. And she just inside foots it from the very top of the D and curls it up into the upper 90 for her third of 4 goals in that game. But she just go ahead back and watch all of them because they're all really good goals. She's just an incredible player. And that's one of those performances you go, okay, that's one of the best players in the game right there. So give me Sam Kerr 4 goals against Seattle in 2017. That's nice. My goal to go.
I love it. And I don't know about you guys, but something about a come from behind goal kind of adds to the allure of it for me. And so that I'm excited to go back and watch that just, you know, from the sheer fact that she came back and literally put the team on her back.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it's watching the Last Dance with Michael Jordan, and they're showing all these clips of these different scenarios where he just finally decided, all right, if I got to do it all by myself tonight, I'm doing it all by myself and we're going to win this game. And there's only so many athletes in any sport in the world that can actually do that, especially in a team game. And this was one of those cases where Sam Kerr did that for her team. And so that's one for us to go back and watch. So
she's fantastic.
Ahead. Yeah. Terrific. No. We got to see her at the She Believes Cup here in Kansas City just a couple of years ago. So hopefully we get back to that here pretty soon. All right, guys. Thank you for the time. Ali, Carter, as always, and we'll see you next week. That is the Sporting Kansas City show for this week. Our thanks to Peter Vermees. We'll see you next week, once again, on Sports Radio 810 WHB and wherever you get your podcast.